There's some background to Acts chapter 26 that certainly would be helpful for us to remind ourselves about. Paul, the Lord's servant, has been in prison in Caesarea for over 2 years now, first under the governor Felix, and now under the new governor Festus. If you turn back to the last verse of chapter 24 and verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So Paul has been in prison for the full 2 years under Felix, and now there is a new governor, Festus, and he's still in prison. Festus, the new governor, is not sure how to deal with his prisoner. Then a visit comes from the King Herod. King Herod Agrippa visits the new governor in Caesarea. Chapter 25 reminds us of that visit in verse 13. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came onto Caesarea to salute Festus. So we have this visit of the king, Herod Agrippa, coming to greet, no doubt, the new governor Festus. While the king is there, Festus takes the opportunity to speak to the king of his unique prisoner and his legal dilemma regarding the prisoner Paul. In verse 14 and 15, he informs the king, chapter 25, "And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him." So he informs the king about the prisoner Paul that he's not sure how to deal with. And immediately the king responds, and he desires to meet Paul himself. And in verse 22 he says, "Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself." He wants to hear Paul, what his situation is. And Festus says, "Well, tomorrow." He wastes no time. He says, "Tomorrow," said he, "thou shalt hear him." And so verse 23 tells us of the morrow. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. So we have this situation now, this great gathering of dignitaries, the chief men of the city, the king, and Bernice, the principal people of the city, and chief captains. And Paul emerges from his prison cell and is ushered into the presence of these noble and dignitaries. And verse 1 of chapter 26, and verse 1, the king gives Paul opportunity, invites him to speak for himself. And we take up the reading. Here is the Apostle Paul. He's now given opportunity to answer for himself, to explain his position, to how he got to where he has gotten. And we'll take up the reading now from chapter 26 and verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Lord, permit it to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, whereof I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing, both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Amen. Ending our reading at the end of the verse, we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy and infallible word to all of our hearts. And with the word of God opened, let us ask for the Lord's help as we turn briefly to consider his truth. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for the privilege that we have of having thy word in our own mother tongue. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of having the Bible. We thank thee, Lord, you've not left us in this world without witness. We praise and thank thee, O God, that thy word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Thou hast not left us to find our own way to heaven, to struggle with our own minds and with our own understanding. But we thank thee, Lord, that you've made thy way plain, you've written it down in a book, thy book, that we can read it, we can learn it, we can understand it. And we ask, Lord, tonight as thy word would go forth, O God, by thy Spirit, that thou wilt take of the revealed truth and apply it, O God, with the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we acknowledge that without thee we can do nothing, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. They have to be spiritually discerned. O Lord, therefore we would cry for the help of thy Spirit, that thou wilt apply thy truth to every heart. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We have these amazing words of Agrippa when he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There are various responses that people make to the gospel. In chapters 24, 25, and 26, we have these three distinguished individuals who have heard the gospel presented to them. Felix, Festus, and Agrippa. And these men of rank have heard the Apostle Paul, the Lord's servant, deliver the message of the gospel. It probably never entered the minds of those men that the hour they spent in hearing Paul preach would be an hour of destiny for those individuals. They were called upon not so much to determine Paul's fate as it was to determine their own spiritual fate. Here was the gospel, as it were, coming right up close and personal to these individuals. Here was their most privileged opportunity of hearing the gospel presented in all of its wonder and power and blessing from the Lord's faithful servant. And their response to that privileged opportunity and privileged time was indeed going to determine their eternal destiny. We hear and we read of Felix, when he heard the apostle preach, he says, when I have a convenient season, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Even though he had trembled under the preaching of the Lord's servant. Festus, he cried out in our reading tonight, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And King Agrippa responds, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Three different responses to the gospel message. And men and women, boys and girls, can hear the same truth and the same message from the same preacher, yet respond so differently. And here are those three responses. Some responses seem promising, but we never hear of any of these individuals ever coming to a knowledge of God as Saviour and Redeemer. Tonight, I would like us to consider the response of King Agrippa to the preaching of the gospel. Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This response for anyone would be a marvelous response indeed, wouldn't it? If anyone in our hearing tonight, after hearing the gospel, was to say, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian, it would be a marvelous thing to have someone to be brought to that position where they're almost persuaded. But when we think this evening of who it is in the scripture here that is almost persuaded and says he is almost persuaded to be a Christian, it is a far more tremendous thing indeed. Because we remember who the speaker is. He is King Herod Agrippa, from the line of the Herods. And we have not to go too far in our knowledge of the New Testament to find out that these Herods were notorious for their wickedness and their opposition to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ and to all of his servants. He's from the line of the Herods who killed the infant children in Bethlehem. It was a Herod, and from the line of the Herods that sought to kill the baby Jesus and killed all the infants in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. It was from the line of the Herods that John the Baptist was beheaded, from this same family line. It was the same Herods when the Lord Jesus was brought before them in his trial that he refused to speak a word in his own defense. It was also from the same line of the Herods, the King Herods, that James was imprisoned, the Apostle James, and beheaded, and Peter also imprisoned. So for this Herod, Agrippa, to respond to the preaching of the Lord's servant by saying, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, it's a marvelous thing, an amazing thing. And I would like to consider this response of King Agrippa. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I would like us to consider some things about this statement that he has made and learn, we trust some things about the statement and the response that he gives to the preaching of the gospel. And the first thing I'd like us to consider is what it is to be a Christian. Because Agrippa has said, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. Well, if we're going to be persuaded to be a Christian, we need to know what it is to be a Christian. And it is very clear in our province and in our day and generation, there is much confusion as to what it is to be a Christian. Many, indeed, call themselves Christians. And many would regard themselves as Christians. But indeed, would not, as far as the Bible definition of a Christian is concerned, are they truly Christians? And we do not want to stand and condemn any without bringing to their mind what it is to be a Christian. And the Bible gives us very clear understanding of what it is to be a Christian. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in his discourse here, in his response to Agrippa, he gives a very clear understanding and definition of what it is to be a Christian. And Agrippa was in no doubt from the preaching of the apostle what it was to be a Christian. For in his commission by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the apostle's responsibility and what he was to do as far as going forth with the gospel. If you turn back in chapter 26 and verse 17 and verse 18, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. The Lord Jesus Christ sends forth the apostle into the world to, as it were, make Christians, bring men and women to a knowledge of Christ, to that place of peace and salvation. So what is it that the Lord says he is to do in verse 18? To open their eyes. To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus said. So here is Paul's definition based on the commission of the Lord for him to go forth with the gospel. Here is what it is to be a Christian. A Christian is one whose eyes have been opened. And men and women, boys and girls are born into this world with our minds, as it were, closed. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And many, alas, have their minds blinded. Do not see their real condition before God. Do not see their real need of a Savior. Do not see the danger that they're in. That they're sinners by nature and sinners by practice and as a consequence of that sin are lost and hopeless and helpless and cursed and need a Savior. And it is the apostle's purpose as he's going forth to bring men and women to Christ, he must open their eyes, as it were. Illuminate their understanding. Cause them to see what it is to be a Christian. That they are in danger of perishing. and they need a Saviour to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Men and women are born in darkness. We need the glorious light of the gospel to shine into our hearts. And once I was in darkness, once I was ignorant, unaware of my danger, but I thank God for the one who brought me to the light of the gospel and caused me to see where I stood before God, that I was in darkness, and showed me that there was a way of salvation, there was a way of peace, a way for pardon, a way to life eternal and life abundant. From the power of Satan unto God. Many don't realize that day by day their very thoughts, their very actions, their very ambitions for life are all directed by the adversary, the devil himself. They're following the course of this world, not following God's way. A Christian is someone who has their sins forgiven. And if we're going to be in heaven, we need our sins dealt with. If we're going to be in heaven, we need that sin to be removed from us. There is no sin in heaven. If we're going to be in heaven, we need to have forgiveness of sins. A Christian is one who has forgiveness of sins. There's only one way to have forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Behold the Lamb of God, John said, which taketh away the sin of the world. A Christian is one whose sin is forgiven. It's cleansed, pardoned by God Himself. He's one who exercises faith, who has an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith. And we must appropriate the gift of God by faith. Simply trusting, simply believing, simply acknowledging that Jesus Christ and Him alone is the only hope, the only way to everlasting life and pardon. There's no mention here in this definition of a Christian, of being a member of a church. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be members of a church, but there's many a person who's a member of a church but does not know the true understanding of being a Christian. No mention of being baptized, of partaking of the sacraments. And again, we say that there is nothing wrong with a believer being baptized and enjoying the Lord's Supper. But many are baptized and many partake of the Lord's Supper and yet are not truly Christians. Here the Apostle Paul, in his description here of the Lord's commission to him to go forth into the world, and the understanding of Agrippa was clear. He knew what it was to be a Christian. He had heard the Apostle declare and present the truth. So we learned from this statement, and considered what it is to be a Christian. What were Paul's means? How did the Apostle Paul bring this man, King Agrippa, to the point where he was almost persuaded to be a Christian? And we as God's people today can learn something from Paul. It would be our desire, I'm sure, for everyone who's saved in our gathering this evening. It would be our desire and our purpose in our lives to bring men and women and bring those that are in sin and persuade them to become Christians. Well, how did the Apostle Paul, what did the Apostle Paul use by way of his own methods here? How did he bring Agrippa to the place where he was almost persuaded to become a Christian? Well, he certainly used and appealed to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, he used the Word of God as his means of declaring the way of truth and of life and of certainty. And on several occasions, right throughout his whole defense here, he refers to the Word of God. In verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses should say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. And he appeals to the Bible. He appeals to the Scriptures. And he speaks the Word of God to King Agrippa. And he brings the truth of the Word of God, the Old Testament Scriptures that he knew, that King Agrippa was familiar with. Those Scriptures which clearly told of Messiah, of Christ coming into the world. And pointed out from those Scriptures that Messiah should die and that he should suffer. It was written in the Bible long before it happened, King Agrippa. Messiah, it was said in the Bible that he would come and that he would be killed. This is in the Bible. It's in the prophets. It's in the books of Moses. And he used the Scriptures to persuade King Agrippa. And tonight, if you're going to be persuaded, if men and women are going to be persuaded to become Christians, then all we can do is appeal to the Bible. And we have the Bible to appeal to. What saith the Scriptures? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He appealed to the Scriptures. He also used his own personal testimony. And what a testimony he brought before King Agrippa. Our time is almost gone this evening. But what a testimony he had to bring, his own testimony, to King Agrippa. And he tells him how that he was born in Judaism. He had lived a religious life, a devout, strict religious life. He was just like all the other Jews. When Jesus of Nazareth was mentioned, they viewed him as an imposter. He did everything in his means and all of his power to destroy the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Branded him as an imposter, as a fake. Did not acknowledge him to be Messiah. Did all in his power to oppose him and his name. But then God in his mercy, he says he met with me. And he tells his own testimony how at midday, when the sun was at its brightest, he saw a light above the brightness of the sun. And he heard a voice The Lord speaking to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He was amazed. "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." He realized that the one he had been fighting all along was his only hope of salvation. The one that he had been opposing and so angry at and fighting and resisting was the very hope of his salvation. And for the first time, he realized that Jesus was the Messiah and was his only way and only hope of everlasting life. And he said, "My life was transformed. I realized my error. I realized I had been fighting against the pricks of God's striving and God's Spirit and God's messengers." And he tells how the Lord had saved him, transformed him. And I'm glad that God gives us a testimony. We want to persuade men and women to become Christians. You've got a testimony. What he has done for us, we can tell. We can tell it plainly, tell it truly, and tell it honestly. And what he has done for us, he can do for them. He appeals and applies the message very personally to Agrippa, doesn't he? And he understands who Agrippa is and understands that he's familiar with the things of God. "These things were not done in a corner," he says. "King Agrippa, you've been the king. You know about Jesus of Nazareth. You know about his birth in Bethlehem. You know about his crucifixion. These things have not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" "I know thou believest." He applies the message very plainly and very personally. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, there's value in a person, great value in a person saying, as Agrippa did, "Almost persuaded. I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian." What potential, what words these are from anyone. An amazing thing for someone to say, "I'm almost persuaded." Not like Festus. "Much learning doth make me mad." Here's a different response. But you know, there's danger. There's danger in this position as well, isn't there? And maybe you're here tonight and under the faithful preaching of the Lord's servant in this congregation, there's been many times when you could say, like Agrippa, "I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. Almost persuaded." But alas, you've left without taking the step of faith. Without responding with your whole heart and soul by faith and embracing the appeal and embracing your opportunity and seeking the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And you're only almost persuaded. There's a danger in that. Because almost is not sufficient. Almost is, alas, to be lost. A sick man was almost persuaded to take the medicine for a fatal illness. But he failed to take the medicine and he perished and died. A perishing man, a blazing furnace of fire, was almost persuaded to jump to safety. But failed to jump and perished. You see, almost persuaded Why there is much hope and much promise if that's how you remain. It's not sufficient. Paul says, in response to Paul, to Agrippa, saying he was almost persuaded, he says, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am. Now there may have been reasons why he was only almost persuaded. There was that immoral relationship with Bernice. There was the fear of man in that distinguished audience that surrounded him. The governor had said, much learning does make thee mad, Paul. There was all the dignitaries and the chief men of the city. Fear of man. The company they keep. These things can sometimes cause men to prevent taking that decisive decision. But I would appeal to you tonight in the name of the Apostle Paul and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would not only be almost persuaded but altogether persuaded. What a difference the gospel can make in your life. What a blessing it is to know that you're a Christian. To know that no matter what will happen to you in this incoming week, that it is well with your soul, that you're ready for death, you're ready for eternity. I would pray tonight that you would seek the Lord while he may be found. That you not only be almost persuaded, but altogether persuaded. And come, seek the Lord for salvation.